Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Anger Wisdom for Cooling the Flames is a short Buddhist-inspired guide by Thich Nhat Hanh focused on transforming anger rather than suppressing it. Written in a clear and practical style, the book treats anger as a form of suffering that can be understood through mindfulness, breathing, and compassionate attention. Its purpose is not to argue that anger is harmless, but to show how quickly it damages relationships, health, and inner stability when it is acted on unexamined.
Drawing from Zen practice, the book connects personal emotional regulation with ethical communication and deeper relational understanding.
It is especially known for its accessible metaphors, such as caring for anger like a crying baby, and for its emphasis on daily exercises that can be applied by individuals, couples, and families. The book stands at the intersection of spirituality, psychology, and practical self-help, while remaining grounded in Thich Nhat Hanh's broader teaching on peace and interdependence. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, mindfulness as the first step in recognizing and holding anger. The book treats mindfulness as the essential starting point for working with anger. Rather than reacting immediately or trying to suppress the feeling, the reader is encouraged to notice anger clearly, acknowledge its presence, and stay with it without judgment.
This matters because anger often becomes destructive when it is denied, justified, or acted out impulsively.
Thich Nhat Hanh frames awareness itself as a stabilizing force. Once anger is seen plainly, it is no longer controlling the whole person in the same unconscious way. The book's approach is practical rather than theoretical. It suggests using breathing and attentive presence to create enough space for reflection before speech or action. That pause is important because it interrupts the habitual chain from feeling to retaliation. Mindfulness in this book is not an abstract meditation ideal. It is a direct method for preventing emotional escalation and for seeing anger as a condition that can be observed, understood, and transformed. Secondly, the crying baby metaphor shows anger needs care, not punishment. One of the book's most distinctive ideas is its comparison of anger to a crying baby. The point of the metaphor is that anger should be approached with tenderness and investigation, not hostility. A crying baby is not condemned for making noise. Instead, one picks it up, calms it, and looks for the cause of distress. Thich Nhat Hanh applies that same logic to anger, suggesting that anger is usually a signal of pain, fear, or unmet needs rather than a problem to attack. This framing changes the emotional posture of the reader. Instead of becoming angry at being angry, the reader learns to care for the emotion as part of oneself. The practical value of this image is that it turns inner work into something concrete and humane. It reduces shame, discourages self-punishment, and encourages patient inquiry. In this way, the metaphor is not decorative. It is a behavioral instruction for de-escalation and self-understanding. Thirdly, compassionate communication is presented as the cure for relational damage. The book places strong emphasis on speech and listening as the places where anger either heals or deepens conflict. Thich Nhat Hanh argues that communication shaped by compassion can prevent many of the injuries that anger causes in families, partnerships, and communities. He does not recommend avoiding hard truths. Instead, he insists that truth must be delivered in a way that does not increase suffering.
This means speaking from awareness rather than accusation and listening in a way that makes room for the other person's pain.
The book's relational insight is that anger often multiplies because each person feels unheard or attacked. Compassionate communication interrupts that pattern by creating mutual recognition. The idea is broader than polite conversation.
It requires understanding that another person's suffering is often tied to one's own.
That interdependence is central to the book's ethical vision. By treating dialogue as a practice of care, the book turns communication into a method for rebuilding trust rather than winning conflict. Fourthly, habit energy explains why anger repeats and why awareness must become practice. A major analytical concept in the book is habit energy, meaning the inherited or repeatedly reinforced patterns that make anger flare up automatically.
Thich Nhat Hanh suggests that many emotional reactions are not isolated events, but well-worn tendencies shaped by memory, conditioning, and repetition.
This helps explain why people may regret anger yet still return to the same response in future conflicts. The concept is important because it moves the discussion beyond moral blame. Instead of asking why someone simply does not try harder, the book asks how habit patterns operate and how they can be transformed. The answer is disciplined mindfulness, repeated over time, rather than a single insight. This makes the book realistic about change. Anger is not cured by wishing it away. It is weakened when the person becomes more conscious of triggers, bodily signals, and recurring reactions. The emphasis on habit energy gives the book a psychological dimension and shows why spiritual practice must be sustained, not occasional. Lastly, the book links inner peace with social peace and broadens anger beyond private emotions. Although the book is practical and personal, it also presents a wider ethical vision.
Vijnat Hun connects the management of anger inside the self with the possibility of peace in relationships and society. This is one reason the book has endured. It does not treat anger as only a private mood, but as a force that shapes families, institutions, and even collective life. By doing so, the book lifts anger management out of narrow self-help and into moral reflection. Its view is that personal transformation matters because untransformed anger can spread outward through speech, decisions, and culture. The text therefore suggests that learning to calm anger is not passive or indulgent. It is a contribution to reducing suffering around oneself. This broad perspective also explains the book's appeal across religious and non-religious readers. Its method is spiritual in origin, but its implications are universal. To cool anger is to protect relationships, preserve dignity, and make peace more possible in ordinary life. In conclusion, Anger Wisdom for Cooling the Flames is best suited to readers who want a practical and reflective approach to emotional regulation, especially those dealing with recurring resentment, reactive speech, or conflict in close relationships. It will also appeal to readers interested in mindfulness, Buddhist ethics, or Thich Nhat Hanh's broader teaching on compassion and interdependence. The main benefit of the book is its combination of inner discipline and relational insight. It does not stop at calming techniques, but shows how anger is tied to communication, suffering, and habit. That makes it more grounded than many books that treat anger only as a problem of self-control. What distinguishes it from similar titles is its tone and method. It is gentle without being vague, spiritual without being abstract, and practical without becoming mechanical. The book offers a clear framework for noticing anger, holding it with care, and transforming it into understanding. Readers who are willing to reflect rather than look for quick fixes are likely to find it both calming and intellectually durable. If you would like to support Thich Nhat Hanh, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.